Ready to get comfortable? Hello, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Tia and I will be your MC this evening. Not the moderator, but the MC. So you'll see me in the beginning and then in the end. First is housekeeping. Restrooms are located in the back of the house. So just keep going to the back of the house. There's one on the left and one on the right. It doesn't matter which one you pick, they work for everybody. There's still a little more appetizers left, so feel free to grab some. If during the program you want to quietly get up and get some, that's just fine. You've each been given a drink ticket. Hopefully you all have your drinks. There's beer and wine this evening. After the ticket, it's a cash bar. So, I am Tia. I am a long-term, over 30-year Pioneers Club resident. I chair your Pioneers Club Residence Council. I'm a property owner, I'm a multi-decade business owner, and Pioneer Square. And I welcome you all, Pioneer Square residents, business owners, property owners, people who work in the square, and our guests, Maren Costa and Rod Saka, who are District 1 candidates for us. The Residence Council and the Alliance for Pioneer Square are co-hosting this evening. So we'd like to give special thanks. Where is she? Is she hiding? Angela? Where are you? Angela? She's probably hiding. All right. Let's hear it for Angela. Angela is the owner of Luigi's, and she donated the space for this event on a night when she's closed. So thank you for the space, the wonderful food, and once again, community. Chat a little bit with the candidates before the program started. We're hoping that there's a little time at the end. We're hoping the program is 6 to 7, and then from 7:30 finish up whatever isn't left, maybe grab another drink and get some questions. Michelle, are you ready?
Yes.
I'd like to introduce you to Michelle Russ, Pioneer Square resident. She's our timekeeper.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
Thank Michelle. You. Thank you,
Jeff. That's your neighbor.
He's mine.
I know that. So the questions are, like a minute and a half or something, but there's always going to be a 15-second warning. So when you see the little paper go up, practice. 15 seconds remaining. You guys will just have to trust that back of the paper. It's for the candidates to see. And then, if needed, what's your other sign? Time's up! All right. It is now my pleasure to introduce you to Emily Kim. You know that name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Emily Kim is also a Pioneer Square resident. She owns that fabulous business called the Pastry Project. I know most of you are aware of that in Pioneer Square. She's the queen of treats. She's also responsible for our awesome summer soft serve program. Yeah. The Pastry Project is a woman-owned, mission-driven business making pastry education more accessible to all. They provide, did you know this, free baking and pastry training program to individuals with barriers to employment. And then they help place students in supportive pastry jobs after graduation. Who better to be our monitor? Emily. With that, it's my job to let you know that you have the questions in hand and that the candidates do not have the questions, so you're able to take notes. Let's see. We wanted the unrehearsed answers. The questions came from all of you that registered through Eventbrite. And if there were questions that matched or were a little redundant, we just morphed into one question. And now I will turn the program over to Emily, who is going to walk us through our procedures and start the evening forum. And I will see you all near the end. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, so I'm just going to do a quick repeat of a couple of rules that we just went over, but there will be questions that were submitted from community members for this event specifically, and then the candidates will have a minute, 30 seconds to answer them with a 15-second warning. We have various questions. They kind of span four general topics, and that is general questions, community-focused questions, questions about public health and safety, and questions about economic, the economy and the infrastructure here in Pioneer Square. we have some general rules that we want to live by tonight, and that is just be kind to everybody, be respectful, and we would like the audience to please refrain from applause and negative or oppositional comments as well as we get through all of these questions. We're not going to be taking audience questions tonight because, as I said, these were all submitted from the community, and also the candidates will be around afterwards, and we can talk to them and ask some additional questions as well. Let's see. So we are actually going to start with some brief introductions, and then we'll do a little coin flip to see who goes first with the actual substantive questions. So, Maren, would you like to introduce yourself, give a little bit of background about yourself professionally, personally, if you would like, and the reason why you're interested in representing Seattle City Council District 1?
Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. Thanks for hosting, Angela. This is an amazing space. Thanks to Tia and Emily. This is such a great way to have a debate and having them so they can chat. So let's call it a chat. It feels more like a chat, doesn't it? Okay, so my name is Maren Costa. I've lived in District 1 for 21 years, Seattle for 33 years. I moved out here after college and I was waitressing and baristaing, and then Seattle became a tech town and I became a tech worker. I started at Amazon in 2002. And really grew up with that company. It was a fascinating ride. I learned all about working within a big, huge, messy, high-powered organization, big teams, managing million-dollar budgets, solving big problems, got a bunch of patents, did well, but also wanted to do something more meaningful for really my community, especially after having kids. I started to think a lot more about the climate crisis. So one of the things that I did as well as at Amazon, I organized 8,700 employees to sign on to a list of demands that became Amazon's climate pledge. So figuring out a way to bring people together to really have a great impact for our community, because Amazon being one of the biggest companies in the world with the biggest carbon footprint, and they were doing nothing at the time. They were way behind Walmart and everyone else. And then I went to Microsoft, but I just decided I needed to do something to help my city, because Seattle is one of the most prosperous cities in the nation, even in the world, and we are failing to make progress on public safety, homelessness, and affordable housing, and I want to take my time to dedicate to solving those problems. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Rob. Briefly introduce yourself, some of your professional background, and why you're interested in representing us in Council District 1.
Sure thing. Well, thank you first off, Tia, Angela, Emily, the Pioneer Square Residents Council, the Business Alliance Council as well. Honored to appear before you today. This is important work and important conversation we're getting ready to have. So, Rob Sacco, I am a public school dad of three, Air Force veteran, attorney, community safety advocate. I live in Delbridge with my family. My kids go to Fairmont Park Elementary, go Falcons for what it's worth. I am grateful for where I am today personally and professionally, but through the help of effective government programs and services and community, I was able to overcome the foster care system, public housing, free reduced lunch, all those things. So I know what it's like to struggle, like many of the people I'm hoping to help in this new capacity. But I've been helping. I'm the only one in this race who has actually any experience writing government policy and helping to pass law. And I've done that by serving on countless government commissions to do nitty-gritty things, like review and update the King County Constitution, select the new Seattle Police Chief, redraw the King County Council districts, amongst other things. And I'm running to truly prioritize public safety in our city, action on homelessness and affordability. Proud to have been endorsed by our local Democratic Party, the 34th District Dems, countless small business owners, labor. Earlier last week, Mayor Bruce Harrell came out and endorsed my campaign, proud of that, as did Councilmember Sarah Nelson, Proud of that. And I'm running to build a responsive government that centers progressive values and common sense. And I would love to earn your support tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, so we wanted to just do a quick coin flip to decide who's going to kick off the questions, and then we'll alternate between you both, who's answering first for each question. Marin, if elected, what would be two of your top priorities as a council member?
That is such a hard question because there are so many priorities that we need to focus on out there. But if you don't choose your priorities, then nothing is a priority and nothing gets done. So for me, the top priority is public safety, second is homelessness. When we address homelessness, we're going to take a bit of a bite out of public safety, so you get a little bit of a two-for-one there. The public safety problem we know we have, we need to rebuild the force. Since 2020, we lost several officers. At the time, the community of Seattle was interested in exploring ideas for alternatives to policing, but we weren't ready, and we didn't have a plan. So we lost a bunch of officers, now we need to rebuild the force. We will never have a situation in our city where we can get by without having a heavily armed portion of our public safety plan, because we have so many guns on our streets, and that's just a simple fact. We're going to need a fully, essentially, militarized, group of people who are ready to go into gun battle. Then we have the next big thing that's happening with public safety is the care team. And so if we can move some of the calls that were sent, I'm endorsed by the 911 dispatchers, and Amy Smith is working with them to figure out how to move calls to the new care team, and then we can double our police force overnight. So that would be a huge priority.
Thank you. Okay, Rob, if elected, what would be two of your top priorities as a council member?
Top two priorities are, number one, public safety, and then action on homelessness. Public safety as a concerned dad in this race, three young kids, elementary school age. That's the number one issue that drove me to run. And also, it is my belief that it's the number one issue that shows the contrast between me and my opponent. Because, yes, the public safety situation today is out of hand. I couldn't agree more with the 2020 timing and framing. That's when it substantially started to evolve, but before that as well. So how did we get there? Well, yeah, sure, national things, of course, but I'm running to fix Seattle's problems, make no mistake. We also didn't do ourselves any favor by shooting ourselves in the foot. The Seattle City Council voted to defund the police. And unlike my opponent, who said during a recent candidate debate that the 2020 vote to defund the police was a good idea, or it was not a mistake, excuse me, I knew it was a mistake. And we're living through some of the consequences of that right now. So I'm here to do better. And I support the mayor's plan, the public safety plan, to restore our officers and make sure we have the staffing that we need. And so I think we need them at a high level, and we can talk more about this, but I think we need a more thoughtful, balanced approach to public safety that recognizes the importance of policing and enforcement. Yes, alternatives are spilling their responses. And police reform and individual officer accountability. All those can coexist. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I was just confirming, but candidates are allowed to respond for 30 seconds if you think you have a response.
I have been entirely consistent the entire time during this campaign. Like I said, we cannot not have an armed police force. I wish we were Japan, where you could walk around with a taser and be safe, but it is ridiculous to think that we could ever defund the police. What I am in favor of is looking at making sure our police are used as wisely as possible for the places where we really need them, and standing up this care team that can respond to person down, wellness check, and things like that, and then we double our police force.
Thank you so much. Okay, we are moving on to some community-focused questions. Rob, you're gonna kick us off. In a newly drawn district that is overwhelmingly single-family residential, how will you represent our dense, transit-oriented urban neighborhoods with different concerns and needs?
Well, I'm here to represent all of District 1. District 1, for clarity, includes West Seattle. It includes South Park, Pioneer Square, where we sit today, Georgetown and SoDo, and there are some unique needs of each in every individual community. And you know, rather than sow seeds of discord, division, and highlight all the areas that are different, sort of like the current Seattle City Council, I'm here to focus on what unites us and what strengthens our collective community here in this district. And I've been meeting with small business owners, residents in this district, or in this neighborhood, to learn their priorities and interests. By the way, how am I going to represent? I lived in communities like this, much less dense, in fairness, though. I grew up in low-income apartments, very dense ones, in the Valley of Kent, that were blocks away from the Norman Lane Regional Justice Center that would later house some of my childhood friends. And sadly, some of them would be sentenced for the crimes by judges who are now my professional mentors. And I've made it my mission in life to fight like hell to make sure that more people from disadvantaged backgrounds and communities are able to not only achieve their true potential in life, but thrive. I've done that by collaborating across differences, finding common ground, and ultimately getting stuff done. Stuff that works for all of us. And I'm here to do that today.
Thank you. Okay, Mara, in a newly drawn district that is overwhelmingly single-family residential, how will you represent our dense, transit-oriented urban neighborhood with different concerns and needs?
I would love to hear more about this from every district, and I hope that I can, after I'm elected, actually host office hours in every district at different rolling times, so that it's not come to the castle between 9 to 5, it's I'm actually here in your district ready to talk to you and hear your specific concerns. Pioneer Square, in general, is facing a particular lack of that middle housing, the workforce housing. We have a lot of subsidized and low-income housing, and then the billion-dollar, you know, condos. So I would want to, based on what I know now, I would want to prioritize on making sure that we have a good infill of middle housing so that people that work in Pioneer Square can live in Pioneer Square. So that would be really important. We also have to figure out a connected transit plan. We see a lot of jockeying and special interest things coming into SDOT's plan. I would want to make sure that that Sound Transit knows I'm a partner with them, and that we'll figure out what's right for residents for the long term, not what's right for special interests in the short term. And then we already have a list of the top 20 high incident traffic places in D1. I would want to prioritize fixing those first.
Thank you so much. All right, Mara, you're up next, and you started touching on this question, actually. What will be your process for regularly listening to, communicating with, and interacting with our community directly?
Right, so this is what I've actually done in big tech, was I was in the field of user experience design, where the whole point of the field is to go out into the field and talk to, listen to, really deeply understand the needs of the people that I would be working with, and then involve them in the design or the solution process to make sure that the solutions that we build actually work for the people who are going to be impacted or going to use those solutions. So that's what I've always done, and I would continue doing that. I have also the endorsements from all six of our former opponents, which is really pretty rare. And what they saw in me was the ability to listen and learn and grow. And I think giving those endorsements from all six shows that I can build bridges, not burn bridges, and bring people together so that we can work together to solve our community's problems. Pioneer Square is such a gem, and it has such a, like, you can see the future just exploding here in such a good way. And I think there's gonna be a lot of exciting decisions that are gonna need to be made, like with Waska and, you know, and like I mentioned, middle housing and, you know, the stadiums and all the businesses that are popping up, and it's so exciting to see. But making sure that we keep doing that and pushing it in the right direction and everybody's on board.
Thank you. Rob, what will be your process for regularly listening to, communicating with, and interacting with our community directly?
Yeah, first off, I clearly didn't win the former candidate high school popularity contest. All good. It's not why I'm running. I'm running to make progress on these important issues of public safety, homelessness, and affordability. That's it. And the ability to grow, maybe, but I would submit that it does not at all show any kind of growth whatsoever when you're talking about not adopting existing state drug law while dozens of people continue to die on our streets of fentanyl overdoses. That's not growth, folks. But back to the original question. I'm hoping, and I will, again, represent all voices and all interests. Office hours are great, but I'm thinking about opening up a field office of some sort. The exact location, TBD. Maybe it can be in the Junction. Maybe it can be right here in Pioneer Square. SoGo, a good in-between point. South Park, who knows? But we need a touch point where people can come that's not downtown. People don't have to pay for parking. And come and show and talk to me about your problems. Because I'm here to listen. And I actually have a history of incorporating feedback directly into policy decisions on any one of these government commissions that I've served on before. And would love, love, love to do it again as your elected representative.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Maya. You have a response.
Just a few quick things. I think that calling it a high school popularity contest is insulting to the leaders, the six leaders who ran with us, and I don't like that characterization. Secondly, I did not say that I would vote against this recent bill, the drug bill. What I said was, I think it's completely performative, and I don't think anything's going to change because we're not funding the arrest path, nor are we funding the diversion treatment path. That's my stance on that bill, just so you know. And then,
response, 30 seconds.
So I hear she's against the bill. With no concrete plan to address the fentanyl crisis that exists in this city, with no concrete plan to get people into treatment, even council member Lisa Herbold supported this bill. And think what you want about her. My opponent does not support it. We need to do better, folks.
So sorry, we have to move on to the next question. And this one will go to Rob first. Can or should Seattle do more to increase its workforce housing stock in Pioneer Square? And what would that look like?
Absolutely, we can and must do more to invest in workforce housing. That's an essential part of my plan on affordability. I'm here to fund the development and growth of housing at all levels. Yeah, we need some market rate as we grow as well, but focusing our efforts from a city funding and investment standpoint on low-income, middle-income workforce housing, if you will, as well. Adding density, adding growth, every neighborhood has an opportunity to share the opportunity that we have here to grow and grow responsibly and share the benefit and the burden and the opportunities that come along with that. Part of that is in streamlining and improving the permitting process to make it easier to build. That's good not only for the permitting process in Seattle is a touristy complex, onerous, but
removing a lot of the red tape. That's not only good for developers, but good for residents and homeowners who maybe want to build an ADU in their backyard. So we're going to do that. And again, focusing our efforts on those lower two tiers. But I'm here to work with impacted communities, including your own, right here, to chart our path. I also think, this is something you may not hear my opponent say, I think as we build and grow, we need to make sure that we preserve the character in each neighborhood. Preserve the character and overall look and feel of each neighborhood. A six-story condo or a six-story apartment here might not be consistent with that. So.
Thank you so much. Okay, Marin. Can or should Seattle do more to increase its workforce housing stock in Pioneer Square, and what would that look like?
We do need to increase workforce housing. We need to increase housing of all types, but workforce housing particularly in Pioneer Square. The way we're going to do that is to build more housing, speed up the design process, agree with my opponent there. We need to probably reorganize a bit because the way that the teams are set up that move the design projects through, you get a new team every time you come to a new point in the road. So maybe having a team that's aligned to a project instead of to a state step in the process. And contrary to what my opponent said, I actually do really care about character and design. I started as a designer. I think that's really important. But I think we want to make sure that we're never slowing down building. We need to build so much housing so fast, but we don't slow it down for dumb things. We slow it down for only good things. So speed up the design process. And then one way to do that would be have a catalog of pre-approved designs that match with each community. So if you're in Fontley Mills in West Seattle and you have all mid-century modern houses, how can we have a sixplex that blends in beautifully with that neighborhood? And then same with Pioneer Square. How can we have some beautiful brick designs that fit in well with whatever the neighborhood character is here or wherever the building would be? So I think that's actually really important. I think it would actually be a way to save time and money.
Thank you so much. Okay, we are moving on to some questions about public health and safety. And Maren, you're going to kick this one off. So what would you prioritize as a top public safety concern in Pioneer Square, and what concrete steps would you take to address that concern?
Again, I would love to hear from all of you, but I would hazard to guess that one of the most important public safety concerns is, as we talked about before, if you take a chunk out of homelessness, you take a chunk out of public safety. So if we have small businesses where people are, you know, out in front of the streets, you know, you can deter people from coming to the small businesses, that's not okay. And I'd like to say we can lead with compassion and still refuse to tolerate harmful behavior. And that means harmful behavior for anyone. We have to draw a hard line there. Like that's, we cannot accept harmful behavior. And so we need to move quickly and decisively with solutions that solve those problems. So I would love to see, you know, we know that we can solve homelessness fast by propping up emergency shelters and safe lots and tiny home villages. Houston, for example, has cut their homelessness population in half in a very short amount of time. We are just slow and behind the ball. We should have every district pony up three places where they could put a tiny home village and pop those tiny homes up fast and then create safe lots for people that are living in their cars and don't want to give up their cars, and that would be a big help in a first step.
Thank you so much. Okay, Rob, what would you prioritize as a top public safety concern in Pioneer Square, and what concrete steps would you take to address that concern?
A couple quick thoughts. One is we need to get serious about growing and scaling our care team. Now, I've met with Amy Smith, who is the new sort of, she's a co-equal peer of the new of our police chief and our fire chief. So we need to grow and scale our crisis response. Not everything warrants a police response. Now that's not going to, by the way, like 50% is a number I like just doesn't exist. They still need to study how much off uniform officer time that's going to actually save, but it is a huge need in this community in particular, having talked to so many small business owners. Also, another thing that I think we need to do a better job at, generally, having talked to some small business owners very recently about this specific topic, is encampment cleanups. We need to do a better job of connecting our unhoused and unsheltered neighbor with shelter and services. I was talking to a small business owner at the Korean American Coalition of Washington just a few days ago. And they have a business in Pioneer Square, or Soto, one of them. And sorry, it was a couple days ago. But my point is, there was an encampment, an RV encampment, impacting their business right in front of their business. And it's been there for months, and they were fed up. And so what did they do? They did something they shouldn't have. They put eco blocks up front to prevent people from doing it again. And the city immediately slapped their hand and said, remove those. You can expect reliable, consistent enforcement from me, and not just one or the other.
Thank you so much. Okay, we have one more question in the public health and safety section. Rob, you are going to answer this one first. We see a lack of robust interagency coordination and communication between organizations and agencies funded to address the city's public safety and public health crises. What steps will you take to ensure that the city begins to tackle this coordination and communication problem?
Yeah, we need to break up out of our silos. That's step number one. Too much work, and it's not necessarily a problem that's inherent specifically to the city of Seattle government, but it is a huge opportunity for us to be better at. Too much work exists within silos. We don't even talk to other agencies and departments within, and then the customer experience of everyday individuals like yourself, when you try to resolve something from one specific department, they kind of kick you around to the next department and say, well, look, go talk to them. I think we need a single point of, if you have an issue with the city, I think you need a single point of contact. You need a single threaded owner, if you will, to help you solve whatever challenges you're facing. Everyday residents, business owners shouldn't have to be getting up to speed on every single nuance of who's on first and what department is supposed to solve this hyper-local problem to be. It's a city problem. So we need to do a better job at that. And I've done and led that work in the military and business, and we'll continue to do so here if elected. I also think that we need to do a better job of, some of these problems that we're facing, some of the specific implementations are unique to Seattle, but the broader problems are not Seattle-only problems. We need to humble ourselves and recognize that what we're doing is literally not trying to reinvent the wheel. On the issue of the care team response, let's look to models of success like Denver and Albuquerque.
Thank you so much. Maren, we see a lack of robust interagency coordination and communication between the organizations and agencies funded to address the city's public health and safety crises. What steps will you take to ensure that the city begins to tackle this communication problem?
This is so big tech, big corporations. I can't tell you how many times I had to deal with this at Amazon. And I had kind of a series of specific steps that I would take, because humans behave similarly everywhere we go, and we're predictably irrational and messy. So what I would do is, coming into the new council, it will depend on who I'm there with, but I would start with a listening tour of trying to figure out, okay, who are the players here? How are they talking to each other? Where is the communication breaking down? I would do a deep dive, or ask my staff to give me a deep dive into what has already been figured out or published or the known complaints. I would then build a coalition of people that are gonna come together, sort of like a board that is gonna say, okay, you're gonna be representing these various areas. You know what's going on. You know best what's going on in your area and what is broken. I want you to ask your directs and then their directs, to bubble up the ideas. Where is the bucket leaky? Where are the bridges broken? Where are the inefficiencies? It's the people inside the organizations that know where things are broken. And me coming in new, or anyone coming in new, is, you can spend a lot of time messing around getting nothing figured out. Unless you make a clear plan to bring the right people into the table to solve the problems together.
Thank you so much. Okay, we are going to move on to some questions about economy and infrastructure here. Marin, a city council member has proposed legislation to limit personal guarantees on commercial leases, even though this may make landlords less likely to lease to tenants who have lower credit. Do you support this legislation? Why or why not?
There's a lot of times we have legislation that can have unintended consequences. So I would want to make sure that we are protecting renters of spaces to make sure that they have a reasonable ability to plan for the future and put down roots and know that they're going to have their space that will be theirs for a reasonable amount of time and can't have the rug pulled out from under you. And then we also need to make sure that we protect landlords, even when it comes to housing and renting, and make sure that people aren't being dissuaded from putting their properties, you know, out for rent because they won't feel like they won't be able to protect their own safety or their own viability. So I don't know what the levers are or the dials to turn there, but I would want to make sure that if we do that, we're doing it where we're preventing predatory landlord, you know, and gouging. I have a good friend who just lost their space in West Seattle, really around a lot of these same issues, and it's heartbreaking when people don't have at least some support to stay and try to make a dream come true, when it's just really predatory. But then we just want to make sure we have landlords that are feeling protected and valued as well.
Thank you so much. Okay, Rob. A city council member has proposed legislation to limit personal guarantees on commercial leases, even though this may make landlords less likely to lease to tenants who have lower credit. Do you support this legislation? Why or why not?
I will be honest. I do. I would need to. This is the first time hearing that, so I would need to get more up to speed on this specific proposal. Learn the pros and cons. Understand and listen and learn from feedback from impact communities. That's my, before making any, taking a hard line stance one way or the other. And maybe the ultimate answer is not yes or no, maybe it's yes and, or no and. But in any event, look, I'm here to represent all communities across this district. And as someone who comes from very humble origins or non-traditional background and upbringing, if you will, I've been attending all my life and lived in Section 8 housing, low-income apartments, and I've had some really shitty landlords, I'll be honest. I also know that most landlords are good landlords. And I'm here to fight to make sure that I represent adequately the voices of tenants, which I've been most of my life up until recently, and landlords. I'm not here to punish or any one or the other. And I'm proud to have been endorsed by the Seattle and King County Realtors, the Affordable Housing Coalition, Master Builders Association, because again, I'm here to work with all communities. It's not one or the other. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. Rob, you are going to go first with this next question. The arts are essential to Pioneer Square's economy. Arts funding in Seattle is becoming more scarce. What would you do to help all of the arts organizations, large and small, in the city to continue arts programming?
Yeah, it starts with listening to the specific need and talking to all impacted stakeholders and figuring out what are the specific needs? What are the themes? Can't guarantee on art, on homelessness, whatever, insert your issue. I can't guarantee to do one thing or the other. Who knows what's gonna appear before council tomorrow? But I can, this is the easy part. Again, I'm here to build a responsive government. I can commit to listening, learning, responding to communities, making sure that whatever decision I do make,
is one that is an informed one by all communities. That is a commitment that I think we need now more than ever. And funding-wise, yeah, there's some budget cuts and things going on, and so that's why I'm curious about, like, what are some of the specific needs? We need to get more of these impacted communities and stakeholders involved in a participatory budget process going on right now. But, you know, next year and every year on a going forward basis. So that's how I would approach it.
Thank you so much. Maren, the arts are essential to Pioneer Square's economy. Arts funding in Seattle is becoming more scarce. What will you do to help arts organizations large and small in the city to continue arts programming?
This is a great question, and we know that unfortunately when budgets get tight, some of the first things to go is art, and that's really unfortunate. One thing I would say is grant writing is probably every arts organization's the bane of their existence. I think we can help with grant writing and finding the grants that can help. I'd love to see an AI app that we just teach to write for your grant applications, because if they are a pain in the butt, I've done many of them. Then I think we can come up with more creative ways to join artists with businesses. So I love the alley project over here, where there's art on the, you know, on those buildings, and it seems like aligns with even art in spaces. You know, there was a time when we had coffee shops and people didn't have art on the walls. You know, what are the other ways that we can bring art into and make alliances between business and art? I think that could help advance the arts. And then public spaces for art and public works for art. Can we, as a city, support that and fund that? One of my favorite things is the Shepherd Ferry mural there's two now. There's one downtown and then one in South Lake Union. And they're just beautiful. They add so much beauty to a city. And I think we should fund that. And I think it can help the downtown revival.
Thank you so much. Okay, we are wrapping up with these longer questions before we do a little lightning round. So this is the last kind of longer question. And Maren, you're gonna kick this one off. So Pioneer Square is facing several major chronic infrastructure challenges. This includes vulnerable areaways and a lack of reinforced masonry buildings. As a council member, what policies and programs will you explore to address these major issues in a timely manner?
So the masonry issues, that almost becomes a public safety issue. We know that the unreinforced masonry is a hazard when it comes to the next earthquake. And there's a lot of buildings in Pioneer Square that are suffering from that. And so we need to, when we think about comprehensive public safety, we need to be thinking about unreinforced masonry. It's an important thing, and we need to fix it and fund it. The areaways, I think, you know, when were these built? You know, 1920s or something. It's been decades that we've had these overlays that are dangerous if they collapse. And it sort of speaks to how we kind of keep building new things, but we don't fix the stuff that we already have. I think we need to be very careful as we prioritize new projects. And I know there's things like putting a lid on I-5, which is amazing, and we should probably do it, but we need to make sure that we're fixing the potholes and the areaways and the smaller things that have been left behind and we still need to treat as important.
Thank you so much. Rob, Pioneer Square is facing several major chronic infrastructure challenges. This includes vulnerable areaways and a lack of reinforced masonry buildings. As a council member, what policies and programs will you explore to address these major issues in a timely manner?
Excellent question, and it actually leads to one of my, you know, core priorities or a theme that intersects all of them. So I mentioned I'm here to focus on public safety, homelessness, and affordability, but a fourth pillar that I think intersects with every last one of them is I'm here to focus on the basics of what I think a well-functioning city government can and should be delivering for folks. I call it the three P's of alliteration: public parks, public safety, and public infrastructure, public works. And you know, the need for to improve the masonry buildings. And I'll be honest, guys, it's not the stuff I plan to do. It's probably not going to win any international awards. We're not going to, you know, get 10 out of 10 rating on some climate survey or something for fixing all the potholes and all the, you know, improving all the, making sure all of our buildings are earthquake proof and sound. But my commitment to you is it's going to make a difference in your everyday lives. It's going to improve the situation. Because we focus too much on too many disparate things, some related, some not. I'm here to focus on those three things with the basics, including public infrastructure and public works projects at the core of all those. And looking for ways to not only fund that from the city government perspective, but there is also county money, and since we're talking infrastructure, and state money and federal money that we can look at. So.
Thank you so much. So those are all of kind of the bigger questions, and we have a fun little lightning round to just kind of get to know you a little better. Thank you, my dear. Deep breaths. Thank you, both candidates. I know that was a little intense. We can all clap. You can actually both leave your mics on because you feel like 2, 3, 5 second answers. Are you ready to learn a little more about you? Okay. Rob, favorite place to spend time in Pioneer Square?
I wish I knew the name of the coffee shop, but I've had a gazillion meetings at this one coffee shop. Yes.
Lauren said, Umbria.
Yes. A million meetings there, I love it.
Lauren.
I am completely charmed by the new little beach in Pioneer Square. Tia and I actually walked down there and I saw a live little crab in the water. It's like, oh, you know, we actually have this little window to nature right here in Pioneer Square, which is so charming.
Okay. Mark, your first paid job?
Grocery store clerk.
Rob, your first paid job?
Grocery store bagger.
Good on you guys. Rob, hidden talent. See? Here you go. I like that. Hidden talent, Rob.
Hidden talent. I don't know if I have any hidden talents, but in a prior life, before three kids, I was a somewhat competitive distance runner, marathon runner. So, you know, I ran a number of marathons and qualified for the Grand Boston. And you know, that was before, you know, all this right here, dad bodage, and so
that's not a dad bod.
I don't run nearly as much, but I used to run.
Running,
awesome.
Okay.
So I actually do those silly juggle sticks that when I moved out here for the first time in 1989, and I went to Pike's Place Market and I saw some cute hippies playing with the juggle sticks. And I said, I need to learn how to do that. I can actually do that, and it's actually a lot of fun. And we did the candidate survivor thing, so that's and that was my secret talent on that. We do it at, you know, on Capitol Hill. So you can actually see it online if you want to.
Okay. All right, favorite childhood treat? What'd you love to eat when you were a kid?
I mean, we used to go to the Dairy Queen on the other side of the railroad tracks.
Rob, favorite childhood treat?
So it wasn't necessarily a treat, but it was, you know, a staple item. So I was born in Minneapolis originally and moved out west kind of middle school age. But so Minnesota, and I think me and Warren share that in common, those Minnesota roots. So hot dish! If you don't know about hot dish, talk to me and Warren after this thing.
Okay.
So
okay. This one's for Angela. Rob, red or white sauce?
White.
Mark.
Definitely red.
Okay. Mark, texting or talking?
Talking, but I talk to my text as well. I'm always talking.
Rob, talking or texting?
I have fat fingers and thumbs, so I prefer time.
Okay, last question. Rob, is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat animal crackers?
No!
Mark?
I'm going to give him a pass on that one.
Okay. I had to ask because I'm a vegan. Okay. All right, a thank you to our candidates this evening. I'd like to also thank Angela, Emily, and Michelle. Mara, if someone wants to learn more or to get involved with your campaign, how do they do it?
You can go to marinforseattle, that's marinforseattle.org. And my campaign manager, Kyler, is also right over here. He'd be happy to help you hook up with any additional meetups or volunteer activities or anything that you would like to participate in. And I would love to meet all of you and see you there.
Hey, Rob, how do we get involved?
First off, check out my campaign website, voterobsaka.com, S-A-K-A. Talk to me after this thing. Join me volunteering some time, canvassing. Come join me at a community event. We're a good problem to have, but we're good on fundraising for now, although I just heard that there's some spending, so we might need a petition to get that lifted, in which case, we'd appreciate, you know, all your financial help and support. Thank you.
Okay. And you want to register to vote, and you're not registered to vote, Lumen Field is going to be registering Washington State voters right down the street, November 4th through 7th, I believe. Correct. So, no reason I'll walk you down. Just ask me. We have completed the presentation tonight. It's time to mingle. Angela, when are you kicking us out? 7:30?
Yeah.
Mom's kicking us out at 7:30, so I'd like to thank everyone for this evening, especially the candidates, and all who helped. Thank you.